that's who Chicago is hanging their banner. We will take over the world with this guy. And then all this made up, he's a great teammate, he needs positive media to spin all these wacko things going with him. That's your guy. That's your guy that you're going with. But I'll give you one shining hope here. Here's your one shining hope. At least it's not Bo Nix, because that does not make sense to me. Give me a worse quarterback room than the Denver Broncos right now, which two-thirds of it is Auburn QBs. And I know Alabama's QB tracker is not looking really great either.
Nix is built by Oregon. Built by Oregon.
There we go.
Friends, again to CTT, that's Chubby Tackle Talk. We are back with a special audio edition. For those of you who've been tracking us on YouTube, we've been cutting the content, but due to technical difficulties, we haven't been able to get it up recently. And so we're flipping over to this audio real quick for a little while we iron those out. Hope to be back, but now we're expanding beyond. We're going beyond just the YouTube. Come check us out on other platforms as we go forward. For those of you who don't recognize my voice, I am the man, Big Bubba No Trubba, BBNT, and I am joined here by my co-host. First of all, the Peanut King himself from Dothan, Alabama, but sitting in the Mile High City over there. JT, how you doing today, JT?
I've been caught a lot of things. Peanut King is not one of them. Great to be here.
Awesome. And of course, the kind of fit, kind of fat, kind of leader of this whole endeavor, Big G. How you doing, G?
Man, I'm doing well. For a minute there, I thought you were going to call this the CTE podcast, but you know, we may be about as bad on the ears, may have had a head trauma for some people listening to this.
Not to be confused with AB.
There you go. And you know what? Speak for yourself on not being able to get it up. I had no issues. So that sounds like a you and JT problem, but glad to be here.
Right. I said technical difficulties. Technically, you should have been doing it instead of us.
I just left it where you left it, which is not be able to get it up. Sounds like personal problem.
All right. And so we're coming in. The big story of the day, guys. We've just concluded the time for talk is over. The picks are in. We've just concluded the NFL draft, and we are once again excited. OTAs are starting. Guys are coming in doing their workouts. I'm excited for the next NFL season. I don't know about y'all, so let's start it off with that. Who had the best draft? Jansen, let's hear from you.
No, Baba. We see you. I know the audience can't see you here in your Bears hat. Just grinning from ear to ear. You just said you can't wait for it. No way I'm starting this off.
I can't
You the Bears, man. Go for it.
I can't wait.
Stole your praises.
So it's only right that I start off the same way the Bears started off. And first of all, let's recognize two very important figures right now that got us here. First of all, Ryan Poles, the draft god, he's made a couple mistakes along the way. Look, nobody really liked the Chase Claypool. At the time, we thought it was good, and who knew that Chase Claypool was the virus that was bringing down all NFL teams. But that being said, it got us to where we are today. Ryan Poles, to me, can do no wrong at this point. He's the next coming of Ozzie Newsome. He's the greatest GM in the game. And then the second, I think it's important that we go back and we look at who the real man that got the Bears here is. It's not just Ryan Poles. It's Lovie Smith, the former coach, who on a fourth down and 17 in a throwaway game way, way back at the end of the 22-23 season, way back, threw a Hail Mary into the end zone and then went to two for the Texans to win the game and then put them in the number two draft slot behind the Bears. From there, all it took was the Panthers doing what the Panthers are going to do, making a horrible trade, picking an even worse quarterback, and the Bears are sitting there right there at number one. And look, Ryan Poles has traded away some of his draft picks already. You know, we got offensive line help. Most importantly, Keenan Allen, coming over from the Chargers for a fourth round pick meant that he only had four picks going into this draft, but two of them were in the top 10. And man, did he nail this draft. Look, what can you say? Caleb Williams, a consensus number one overall, a consensus franchise quarterback, hopefully is going to save the Bears, but already is probably in the top five all-time Bears quarterbacks without taking a snap. And then they double down in the nine, and I cannot believe Rome Odunze fell.
One day you're going to learn how to pronounce people's names. I mean,
I'm going to hear the announcers call it enough that I can learn at that point. But look, he fell to number nine. So right off the bat, you got the key element, quite frankly, the only offense that USC had last year. I don't know if y'all know that or not. The next closest USC player, offensive player that was taken after Caleb Williams was like 153 or something like that. Like, that's the difference. That's what he was working with last year. And then, so you got the number one player coming out of USC, the number one player coming out of Washington, because I think it was Rome catching the balls, not Penix throwing the balls, that made all those spectacular plays. And then in the fourth round, you get the punt god, the number one offensive weapon for Iowa.
Because the he's absolute be the ball quite
number one weapon from Iowa, Torrey Taylor, the punt god, to just add to it. And you know, here's the thing: I'm over the top. They ended up getting two other picks: Kieran Omega Dahi, I think is how you say it, who's an one offensive tackle.
One that's dude, probably again, not how you say it.
No clue. He's an offensive tackle prospect out of Yale, so we know he's got a brain on his shoulders. He's huge. He's just got to develop some more. Same thing for Austin Booker, who everyone said if he would have stayed another year, probably would have been a first rounder next year, but came out early, dominated in the Senior Bowl, looked great. I just think they nailed this draft. And here's the other thing I love. I love already Caleb's leadership. He's already connected to Rome. They were throwing balls back in LA before they even left for the draft. They were on the same plane together. They were doing all the press together. Like, they were acting like teammates before he even dropped to number nine. And then the first thing Caleb does when Torrey Taylor gets drafted as the punter, he shoots a text to Torrey and goes, "Hey man, I can't wait to have you, but you're probably not going to have to work that hard anymore with me." So you gotta love the confidence right there. The Bears nailed this draft. I don't see how you can pick anyone else other than number one, quite frankly. I'm over the moon. You know, NFC North, look out, because I think there's going to be an NFC North champion Chicago Bears this year.
Well, Bubba, I'm so glad that with the first overall pick, the ninth overall pick, that you guys made good picks.
Absolutely.
Because, man, that's really tough to do when you get the first overall pick and the ninth overall.
Hey, listen, Ryan Pace would have messed this up. That's all I'm saying.
Look, the whole NFC North had a great draft, other than maybe the Lions. I mean, but the Vikings had a good draft. Green Bay Packers, if you haven't really looked at their draft, and then the Bears. I mean, that whole division, I think, got a whole lot stronger this weekend. But I'm not going to go with a team that got the first overall pick and two picks in the top 10. I think that the draft's about doing something a little different and happen to be a little bit bold. And I'm going with a team that's been a contender, but man, they added some defense and a couple offensive weapons. I'm going Philadelphia Eagles. Back there at the 22nd pick, they grabbed Quinyon Mitchell, one of the top defensive players coming out of this draft. They needed some secondary help. And then what do they do in the second round? They grabbed a kid that was ranked 20th overall, Cooper DeJean. Two cornerbacks, two DBs right off the bat. Great, great grabs there. And then later in the rounds, they got Will Shipley at running back. Could be good, could be great, could be okay. Jeremiah Trotter, who I know had a down year, but was a really good linebacker. Has a ton of potential there. And then in the sixth round, they're grabbing a kid that, you know, has made a little bit of headlines, but maybe not as much, overshadowed by some of his teammates. Johnny Wilson. This kid's like 6'7" wide receiver. 6'7". He can catch the ball. He's maybe not the fastest guy out there out of FSU, but I like what the Eagles put together. I think they're a team that's already pretty strong, and they grab some great pieces at great value. And I'm going to go back to my old fantasy football nowadays. It's not about who you get with the first pick overall. It's about where you grab value. And I don't see much better value in any of the picks than what the Philadelphia Eagles did there.
Well, I got to tell you, the thing that lives in my head right now is somebody posted the old clip from Remember the Titans of Julius Campbell and Gary Bertier shoving each other, strong side, weak side, left side, strong side, whatever, and said, "This is Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean in training camp." And it, like, It has lived in my head ever since I saw that, because I thought it was the funniest thing ever. But, yeah, it's hard for the Eagles not to screw up with the 10 picks that they had. And certainly they were team trade down this year as we went along.
I am shocked that we're not talking about the Vikings. I just knew that Bubba was going to go Chicago and you were going to go Vikings. Run through the picks the Vikings had. I know you got it memorized. Just let's hear it real quick.
Well, I mean, they had a great draft, man. And what makes that draft great is that they didn't trade the farm to get J.J. McCarthy. So they grabbed McCarthy there, 10th overall. They had to trade up one spot to get him to beat Denver out. And this was the key, was that they got Dallas Turner there at the 17th overall pick. They had to trade up to get that one. But, you know, then they had a fourth, a couple sixths, and a couple sevenths. If you're to take what they got, everyone assumed that to get J.J., they were going to have to trade both their first-rounders this year and probably a second next year. I'm not the believer in JJ. I hope he turns out okay. It's a win that they didn't have to trade the farm for him. And it's a win that we got a linebacker that we desperately needed. But just two picks alone don't make a whole draft.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I was ready to crucify you if you said the Vikings had the best draft. Because what they did is they saw what the Houston Texans did last year and then did the great value version of that. They did the Walmart version of that. You know, the Texans last year took a Big Ten quarterback and a superstar in C.J. Stroud, and then they took the number one overall defensive prospect from Alabama, Will Anderson Jr. The Vikings did basically the same thing this year, except for just a lot lower with a lot worse players. And so maybe it's going to work out for them, because they certainly had a lot more to build around than the Texans did. But to say that they had the best, I'm glad you didn't go that far, because, again, it's just like a little bit worse. It's like the Midwestern version. It's like they took what the Texans did with worse ingredients, threw in a can of cream of mushroom soup and a pound of cheddar cheese and baked it in a casserole and called it a good draft. We'll see where they go.
He's glad you gave him that end, G, because he prepped hard.
I know he did. I was going to – yeah, he wasn't going to have anything. But, let's talk about the Vikings, though, built by Bama, right? Dallas Turner, you said Will Anderson Jr. He's better, man. He is better. And you'll see it on the field. And the Vikings really – I can't believe Latow went before him.
Wait, to be clear, you're saying that Dallas Turner is better than Will Anderson.
100%. Okay. 100%. Yes. And it'll prove it. It'll prove it. Trust me on this one.
I love that.
And then what? You guys went Kyree Jackson?
Yeah.
Another Alabama product. No, it came from Oregon, right? Transfer portal. And then – the man who is arguably the greatest player in Alabama history, Will Reichert, right? So just got to get that kid in the weight room a little bit more, but he's going to be nailing them for you, some game winners. So, all right, well, I'll shut up enough about that, but you guys know where I hang my flag. So you mentioned something earlier, JT. You did not like the Lions draft, but I'm going with the Lions having – up there, I'll give it to him, the best draft of this year's draft, because every one of those players have the Dave Campbell brand. They're going to fit into his philosophy. He filled holes with major players. I'm talking right off the board, Kerryon Arnold, arguably the best secondary coverage guy coming out of this draft. Rake Shaw, another SEC guy. But my favorite out of the draft, Giovanni Manu, didn't even play American college football. This dude is a beast. When I saw this guy, 6'8", 352, runs a sub-5.40, this dude's a machine. And then you go look him up, solid. He fits the brand. And then you just look, Mikhail Wingo at LSU, this is building studs. And he already put together the offensive philosophy a couple years ago. It's building on that. Now he's bringing in the defenses. Look, I know you said our buddy Holmes has already, you know, staked his flag with the Detroit Lions, but man, there's something special about the Dave Campbell brand, and they were so close. And I think he's got the pieces to get them back to where they need to go in an organization that has been so painful to watch. This is a win for them. Detroit Lions.
So painful to watch that Dan Campbell's brother Dave has even been coaching and nobody's noticed it.
Did I say Dan? Dave. Funny. Hey, well, look,
you gotta give Detroit one thing. I mean, they set all the records for draft participation.
attendance was incredible.
Yeah, you got to go from there. And Dan Campbell, thank you for the PTI correction. But Dave Campbell, we got a little treat later in the show. So that's where my brain was at. My other thing before we hang up on my just insight here, I was going to go Detroit Lions or the Cardinals just because they drafted a whole freaking team. Yeah. What in the world?
Yeah. They starting out with Marvin Harrison Jr., who in a different class may have been the number one overall player. It's hard to go against them. Another one to throw out there too, by the way, low key doing what the Steelers are going to do. The Steelers had a great draft, especially building their line on both sides and nothing flashy. But once again, you're looking at a team that's going to have a winning record and going to go to the playoffs the same way that they always do in a Mike Tomlin team.
Speaking of non-sexy, I felt like the Chargers was the same way. I know the Chargers are getting a lot of hate, but I look at them like you got some good building blocks. There's just nothing exciting about your picks, but that tells me that they're really going to be rebuilding over the next couple of years as well.
Yeah.
All right. So we talked about the good. Now let's talk about maybe not necessarily the bad, but what was the biggest surprise? The biggest, because to me there were some shocking moments from the draft and from these teams, especially as you're looking at mocks. And I know we all get sucked in every year to what the mock drafts say versus what the NFL experts actually look on. But the mocks had it somewhat right up until maybe pick six or seven, eight, and then it goes crazy. So, Graham, what did you think the biggest surprise of the draft was?
Yeah, this is not original. But to me, the Falcons, man, you have an opportunity to get – hometown hero Brock Bowers, right? So you've got him, Kyle Pitts, you've got some love going that you're bringing in Kirk Cousins on a $2 billion contract, and you finally got some pieces. You've got a whole new staff. You're ready to roll. Like, this was the opportunity to do something smart. And I just cannot fathom the whole Penix. And I know we're going with this whole tampering thing and how that's going to shake out. Man, I love the memes about the guy, the player from SC State that was 48 years old or 46. This is Penix when he finally gets his chance to start. Make it make sense, man. I mean, if you have that opportunity, why not get somebody that is going to give it to you right now? Nobody wants to wait 5 years for that. So that's not a big surprise there. There are some other ones, but I don't want to steal anybody's thunder. JT, what was your biggest surprise?
Yeah, I mean, setting Penix aside, I mean, all you did was just create just a ton of controversy in your own locker room. You did nothing to help your team. You did nothing to help the chemistry. I'm going to go with a positive for my surprise, because this is a team that I give a lot of hate to, and rightfully so. And hopefully you all saw the social media as David Tepper was heading into the draft room where the restaurants had the sign and said, please let the coach and GM pick this year. And David Tepper, being the hubris that he is, stopped in to talk with that restaurant owner. But, man, I've got to give the Panthers credit, because I think he listened to that sign. They traded up. They got Xavier at the end of the first round. Middle of the second round, they grabbed Jonathan Brooks out of Texas to be their running back. I looked down through what they got there with Sanders at tight end. They grabbed some defensive pieces. This is a team that really didn't have any picks coming into this year, had pretty much mortgaged their future on Bryce Young. I thought they salvaged this draft in a great way and got some real pieces to add to Bryce Young and give him hopefully a much better sophomore year. Can't get much worse. I've got to give credit where credit's due. They took what should have been a horrible situation, a no-brainer where they just really were irrelevant this whole draft, and I think they grabbed some good pieces. And with as little respect as I have for Tepper, that surprised me.
Salvage is the right term, because that's what the Carolina Panthers team looks like, is salvaged goods that's not new, all worn out and somewhat banged up. That's a good description of the Panthers right now, you know. But, you know, to me, the most surprising thing, I mean, I think we're all sitting here scratching our heads a little over Penix. You mentioned Brock Bowers, who would have been a great fit in Atlanta, a great fit, quite frankly, maybe anywhere other than Las Vegas, who had a lot bigger needs than Bowers. And he's an amazing player. Let's not take away from him. To me, the shocking thing was the offensive dominance of the first round and the offensive player dominance, especially of the top picks. I mean, when you're looking at it, it was pick 15 before a defensive player went off the board. Almost half of the first round went by without a defensive player being picked. Yeah. There were six quarterbacks taken in the top 12 picks. So literally half of the first 12 picks were quarterbacks. And so when you see this run on offensive players, it was crazy to me because a firm believer that defense builds champions, a firm believer that you have to be able to defend to win. And it's more than just about shootouts and who can score the most. But at the same time, that's almost got to be a commentary on the new NFL with the hip drop tackles, with the roughing the passers, with all these new rules coming in that protect anybody from getting hit, included, by the way, I don't know if y'all saw this, but they're going to be able to wear on their head these little fluffy, puffy, whatever helmet covers that are allegedly going to stop concussions a little bit more. I don't know if they're going to work or not, but it, to me, it just shows what the new NFL about. The new NFL is going to be about offensive weapons, scoring quick, and taking away from the tackles because everybody's afraid of penalties right now. And who can blame them? Wouldn't you much rather take a big offensive tackle like a J.C. Latham to protect your quarterback, to get in the way of defender, as opposed to someone like my personal favorite defensive player, Byron Murphy II, who if he just touches that quarterback, he's probably going to get a flag at this point. So, you know, guys, I mean, to me, it's a new NFL, and this is the first draft of the new NFL the way things are going.
Well, and Bobby, you touched on something. We had six quarterbacks go in the top 12, three of those that probably were second day picks. I mean, if we're being honest, I mean, three of those were probably second day picks. But, you know, the next quarterback didn't go to the 150th. I mean, we had six and 12 picks, and then the seventh quarterback didn't go to pick 150. And that really just showed how desperate teams are for quarterbacks, really just shows the desperation that's out there and how they're stretching. And look, if you're one of those teams that was picking between 15 and 32, what did we see? We saw a great run on defense because you had top 10 and top 15 overall talent available to you where you never have that kind of talent. I mean, it was a great day to be in the back of the pack and being able to pick those defenders. You had the pick of the litter. It was crazy to watch that.
Well, and, you know, say what you want, but I mean, I just don't think that the drop-off between Bo Nix at 12 and Spencer Rattler at, 153, 156, something like that, I don't think that the drop-off is that big of a gap. I'm not saying there's not a gap. I agree that there is a gap, but the drop-off can't be that big. And by the way, I know that we didn't have the picks, but half of me really wish that the Bears could assign Spencer Rattler to back up Caleb Williams again, just because I think it would have been hilarious.
Well, before we get there.
Just hilarious.
That's a good transition into our next topic, Bubba, if you want to kick us in that direction.
So that brings us into the real conversation. And because this is now, obviously, with six picks in the top 12, I don't think there's any doubt it's now a quarterback-focused league. And so there were several quarterbacks taken. There are six in the top 12, half of the first top 12. So the question comes in, of the quarterbacks that are taken, who do you think is going to succeed? Who do you think is going to return that value? And who do you think is going to be the absolute bust of them all? Let's sit here, guys.
Ooh. Can I just go here? This, to me, was one of the most crazy QB frenzied draft that I can remember in recent history. And I know it kind of skews that way every year, just the way the game's going. But to me, there could not have been a bigger batch of subpar quarterbacks that got more hype. Prove me wrong, but that's my stance. I think anybody on this list, maybe outside of Penix, and I don't really think so because he's in the Pac-12 and still to be determined if he's just a system guy. But Bubba, I hate to say this to you. I think this whole, the Bears got the best draft, putting everything into Caleb Williams, that is not the guy that I would put a franchise next 10 years into this dude. Let's look at the QBs Lincoln Riley has put into the NFL. Outside of Baker Mayfield having this comeback year, which is probably because he actually tried to figure out how to play as a team, they're not good. And I'm not going to count Jalen Hurts, right? But even then, Jalen, he got advanced in learning how to actually be a QB, but he's trending in the wrong direction. And he had an enormous talent surrounding him. But outside of that, you tack in Kyler Murray, you tack in Baker Mayfield, their record, there's a 20, almost a 20 like loss to win ratio gap there in the NFL. So now we're going to go with Caleb Williams, a guy whose record is somewhere 23-10 as a starting quarterback, 24-11, something like that. That's not outstanding. And then you can say, well, he didn't have the team around him. He didn't have the weapons. There was no defense, blah, 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 blah. It's still a team game at the end. And that's who Chicago is hanging their banner. We will take over the world with this guy. And then all this made up, he's a great teammate. He needs positive media to spend all these wacko things going with him. That's your guy. That's your guy that you're going with. But I'll give you one shining hope here. Here's your one shining hope. At least it's not Bo Nix, because that does not make sense to me. Give me a worse quarterback room than the Denver Broncos right now, which 2/3 of it is Auburn QBs. And I know Alabama's QB track record's not looking really great either.
They went elsewhere. Nix is Oregon.
Nix is Bill Oregon. Let's be clear.
Bill Oregon. There we go. Okay. Well, it doesn't matter. All right. So he's tagged by that. But there I am, right? And then who knows, man? JJ showing up like he's at Sunday school to the Vikings facility. Maybe that's a good look for him. Maybe that's what they need. But I don't know if that's real or not, but that picture on social media.
I just heard all hate. Are you going to throw any love out there?
I don't know. To me, the best value pick out there, hear it, is Spencer Rattler. And I think he's one of the worst QBs ever, but he went about where he should have gone. That's the only thing that makes sense in this draft. So there's your positive. Over.
Oh my God. All right. So to start out, let me actually agree with you about one thing. Jalen Hurts did get better once he went to Oklahoma. He 100% got better once he left Bama and went to Oklahoma. So we can agree about that. But your argument about why Caleb is going to fail is naming three starting quarterbacks in the NFL right now who are products of Lincoln Riley.
System quarterback, bro. That's exactly what you got.
System successful quarterbacks in the NFL. Call it what you
successful.
Want. Swing your sword, baby. The product of Mike Leach, Lincoln Riley, has put quarterbacks in the NFL that are starting quarterbacks here. Now, the one thing that I will say that I think is being overlooked is, to a certain extent, I do think maybe Caleb, everybody's comparing him to Aaron Rodgers. Everybody's comparing him to the rest of these guys. You know, in a weird way, he's not the runner. He's a little bit more like Cam Newton. He is a guy that plays with the emotions, that's going to bring the team up around him. And, you know, if Cam hadn't have been in that car wreck and hurt his shoulder, he might still be a great NFL quarterback. Caleb is going to succeed because the team is already around him. He's got a much better team than anybody else. He's walking into success, and he's going to continue to have success. Let's talk about the quarterbacks that are not going to have success.
Hold on.
Go for it, please.
6'1", 205-pound guy. You're comparing to Cam Newton.
I'm comparing the fact that he plays based on his emotions and that he rolls with the game and that he elevates the emotions of everyone around him.
So does Kyler Murray, and I think that's a much better comparison without the legs.
With Kyler Murray without the legs, but with an arm. He's got a much better arm than Kyler Murray ever had.
And unlike Kyler Murray and
Caleb Williams has a Heisman.
Well, but here's the last thing, and then I'll let you have your dance. But to me, Chicago must think that there is no greater defense than Utah in the NFL. Because to me, that's Caleb Williams' nemesis. Never beat him. So apparently, somebody's out there thinking that. At least NFL defenses are not as tough as Utah. That's why we're going. There we go. Let's franchise player right here.
By the way, Caleb Williams against Utah was 300, over 300 yards against Utah in 4 TDs. So I think he did okay.
And crying receiver. Hey, if he does that in Chicago and you still get the L, are you saluting that guy?
We'll find out. I remember him crying after every one of those games, just like you're going to be. I want to tell you, I'm ready to be hurt again.
I know you are.
As a Bears fan, I'm ready to be hurt again, and it's okay. But he's not going to be the bust of this draft class because he's got too much talent around him to be the bust.
At least
the bust.
Here's the thing. At least you don't live in the city of Chicago to be a taxpayer that is going to have to fund that new $4 billion stadium. So at least you get to kind of ride off in the sunset if this doesn't pan out. At least it's not coming from your paycheck.
I hear there's a crying room built in.
Yes, there it is. A safety room.
There's a safe space. We all have to have a safe space now.
All right, get onto your bus. All right. Baba.
I'm gonna make a bold prediction. All right, y'all ready for my bold prediction? Michael Penix Jr. will not be a bust. He will not be a bust because in order to be a bust, you have to get on the field. He's never gonna get on the field.
I mean, he's gonna be 29 by the time Kirk Cousins' contract.
He's gonna retire. He's going to be the guy in a few years that comes in for a snap on the last game of the season where they're resting a real starting quarterback, and you go, wow, I can't believe that guy's still in the NFL.
Yes.
He might throw 100 passes total in his career in the NFL. Like, it's going to be bad. But other than Michael Penix, look, to me, the bust look no further than number two and number three. I think Jaden Daniels and Drake May are both bust, if I'm going to be completely honest. I think Jaden Daniels is a bust. Did he win a Heisman? Absolutely. Have I been saying that about Caleb? Yeah. But Jaden Daniels won a Heisman with excellent blocking and excellent wide receivers. His top two receivers went in the first round of the draft this year, I think in the top 25 picks, both of them. He had the talent around him that just made him look good. And you know what? Washington agrees with me because I'm going to make a bold prediction again right here. Quarterback Sam Hartman of Notre Dame, the undrafted free agent that's going into the Washington Commanders camp to back him up, is going to start at some point this season for the Commanders. The other one, Drake May, again, this comes back to the old RG3 argument where the team didn't really believe in him and took another quarterback. Another bold prediction here, guys. Joe Minton, the Tennessee quarterback, is going to be the start. Is going to be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots because Drake May sucks because North Carolina quarterbacks suck. All the North Carolina quarterbacks are terrible when they get in the NFL. Every single one of them.
Well,
name me a good one. It's not Mitch Trubisky.
That's the Bears in there.
There's not a good North Carolina quarterback. And you know who's learned that there's not a good North Carolina quarterback? The Bears. You know who else learned? The Commanders.
Well, and so don't forget
Sam Howell. You can't trust a North Carolina quarterback. Exactly.
Don't forget Sam Howell. I mean, you and I were talking earlier this week that Drake May and Sam Howell are almost – it's like the same thing, and it's going to end up being the same result.
And say what you want, J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix, my prediction is both these guys are going to be – mediocre, run-of-the-mill quarterbacks for the next 10 years in the NFL. They'll get contracts. Bo Nix is going to be Gardner Minshew. That's what he's going to be.
Oh, no.
He's going to be Gardner Minshew.
He wishes he had that kind of swagger.
I do. He's not going to even he's not going to hold his cleats, man.
That's what he's going to be.
Look.
They're not anything. They're going to be average quarterbacks.
So many things to unpack on what you just said there.
That are all completely right.
Look, all right, first off, looking at this year, let's start with this year. I think it's a two-person race. Easy. I don't think any of the others even stand a chance. It's between your boy Caleb Williams, who has a ton of great weapons around him, and it's J.J. McCarthy, who has a ton of great weapons around him.
Wait, by great weapons, you mean Justin Jefferson.
What else do you need? We've also got Aaron Jones back there now, too. Those are the only two quarterbacks that I think walk into a great circumstance that allows them to start out the gate and have some growing pains because there's a team around them. Second to those two would be, you're hating on him, but I think the person that's going to be the best overall out of this, the best career out of this draft class, Jaden Daniels. Now, I hear what you're saying about the 1 year, but, man, I like what the Commanders are building over there. They're calling him Lamar 2.0. I'm not going to go that far in it. I think Jaden Daniels has a good arm. I think he's got a good vision. And I think he walks into a circumstance where they're still rebuilding a little bit, but they've still got some pretty good pieces. I think he has the best career out of all of them. Bo Nix is going to get crushed there at Denver. Denver's got nothing, man. I mean, and I think that's my same problem with Drake May. What's he walking into? The the Patriots are in a horrible situation right now. No weapons around them. Broncos have no weapons. These are two guys that really need some time to develop, and they're not going to be given that runway. And I'm right there with you when it comes to Penix. He's not going to play, so it's not going to matter. You can't be a bust if you don't see the field. Just asinine, the fact that you give Kirk Cousins 4 years and $180 million, and then you bring in a 24, 25-year-old rookie with your eighth overall pick. That makes no sense. The guys that all went later, Milton, Rattler, there was another kid that wasn't too bad. He landed with the Jets, actually, I think. You know, all those guys are fine and well.
Michael Pratt. You talk? Yes. No, he went to Green Bay. I'm sorry. Yeah, Jordan Travis.
But none of those guys are going to see the field for a couple of years. You know, they may make some waves out there. But, you know, give me long-term. Give me Jaden Daniels all day. Give me a good short-term career. I'm looking at Caleb Williams, and I'm looking at J.J. McCarthy. And I do mean short-term for Caleb Williams. I don't think he's a long-term answer.
Well, you're wrong, but okay.
All right, move us along, Bubs.
I mean, you're wrong. All right, well, guys, that's enough about the NFL draft, but it's time for us to have a draft of our own. So we're incorporating a new segment here. It's the boys draft, in which we're going to take a new topic every week, and we're going to have our picks and see who has the best draft of them all. Today's topic, very simply, best fast food cheeseburger. And by fast food, I mean, you gotta go up to the can. Oh, yeah, listen. And a group of large men who've all enjoyed a plethora of cheeseburgers all around, I can guarantee you that this is going to be a hardcore competition here to see who picks the best. We're going to see who. We're going to do four-round snake draft style. Jansen, you're up first. For fast food, we're going to put the definition as this, because there was a debate. If you have to go to the counter to get your food, it's considered to be fast food. If they bring the food to you, if there's like a waiter or somebody to bring the food to you, then it's not fast food. So that is a fast food cheeseburger. Jansen, you got the 101. Tell us who you got. Fast food cheeseburger. Go.
You know, to me, when you're looking at that first overall pick, there's not an easier choice. It's Five Guys all day long. Throw on the fries on the side, but there's not a better smash burger out there. Give me Five Guys burgers and fries.
As usual, you completely blunder your ability to take the first pick and choose completely incorrectly. I should have had no doubt, which is why you got the 101, is because I knew you'd be leaving the best on the table. G, 102 pick, what you got, brother?
Yeah, I mean, anybody who brands themselves with a greasy paper sack, as Five Guys does, it's not worthy of the number one overall pick. So I'm glad you wasted your pick for there. But, you know, hey, if the Bears can do it, if they can go after a diva, if they can go after a pick that's a little bit unusual and really doesn't fit the mold, then I'm going to take with my number two pick in this cheeseburger draft, the Chick-fil-A Spicy Chicken Sandwich Deluxe. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense, but I'm going with it because if it's got as many calories as a cheeseburger, it counts, and that is my sticking to it.
It's not even a cheeseburger.
Hey, put some cheese on it. It probably doesn't have pure chicken parts. There's probably some beef hanging in there somewhere. It counts.
That's why he's kind of fit, and we're only fat, Bubba.
Oh, my God.
Hey, I think it's got more calories in it than a cheeseburger. Let's be for real. The Jesus chicken, if you look at the nutrition facts, it ain't holy, baby. So, anyways.
Don't go down and tell G why he just screwed this whole thing up. But that's okay.
Graham coming from left field, basically just – you know, in the first round of the NFL draft, he's gonna go ahead and go out and pick a rugby player from South Africa who's never seen
a football field
before.
It's like picking an offensive tackle from British Columbia that runs a sub 5:40 at 6'8", 352. 10 years from now, he's still going to be playing. He's going to be great. It's just like the cheeseburger. 10 years from now, if you're eating those cheeseburgers, you're not going to be around. So go with the chicken sandwich.
Well, no, there's only one burger off the table, Baba.
Third pick. Go.
Sub 5 describes your IQ right now, I think.
Or maybe the smartest person alive.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Hey, right now? Yeah, sponsorship.
The obvious 101 here, Jansen, that you missed, and I'm especially disappointed as the guy out closest to the West Coast. Oh, the 101 should have been the In-N-Out burger, the double-double, if you know what I mean, brother, animal style all the way, is the best fast food cheeseburger that you can get, so much so that I even look when I go out to Texas and plan trips around where I can get an In-N-Out burger when I'm out there.
All I can say is bless your heart. The only thing good about an In-N-Out burger is the price, because it's basically McDonald's with a California logo.
And better quality beef and better quality food, okay? You're crazy. The 101 is the In-N-Out, but that's located a little bit out on the coast. So going into the second round, now that I have the pick here, you know, I got to go. We're going to talk calories, but we're going to talk delicious. It comes down to the Baconator, baby. Give me Wendy's and the Baconator for the second round pick, because you throw on that delicious bacon on top of that cheese and that square patty, which gives you just a little bit more of that meat. Ooh, boy, that's the good stuff right here.
Man. You know why they put so much bacon on there? It's because the beef is such low quality. You need something to taste.
Yeah, there it is. There it is.
All right, Graham, tell us about your favorite Long John Silvers now.
Well, you know, I just got to keep you on the toes there, buddy. But to me, especially during the summertime, after a long, hard day of work, there's nothing better than a Sonic double cheeseburger with bacon. Okay. It hits real. And then you can get all these other options to just stack on the calories. But to me, Sonic double cheeseburger with bacon for the win.
The Sonic double cheese. I like it. It's coming a little bit out. You're going to get it that with tots, right? Because that's the best part about there. Yeah,
100. Because you get with the tots, you get a couple like spare fries in there, right? So you get best of both worlds.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally in for this. All right, Jansen, finish out round two for us.
All right. So I can't believe this one's still on the table, but maybe you guys don't know how delicious and smooth a Butterburger is. We got to go Culver's Butterburgers. You get to round out with those cheese.
I thought I was going to sneak in on that one.
Nope. Five guys going one. I got Culver's going two. Go ahead, guys. Crown me the champion. I'm winning this day.
The only thing that's going to get crowned is your teeth after eating those burgers, because all the cavities you're going to have at that point. Oh, my God. Good pick. Honestly, I thought I was going to steal that one. I thought it was going to come down. It is what it is, but you know what? You're back on the clock, my friend. Give us start out round three and tell us what you got.
All right, so I'm going to keep it kind of in the family on this one. Now, this one I'm not sure if you guys got down south, but, you know, when I don't have a Culver's nearby, the next best thing is a Freddy's. You guys again, smash burgers. They're getting them nice and thin. They're getting them kind of crusty. And again, you're getting to round them out with some nice custard at the end. So give me some Freddy's there for number three.
That's a good pick. That's a solid pick. I like your lineup a little bit. Freddy's, Culver's, a little bit of the same, though. I mean, I'm just saying, you kind of doubled up a little bit on that. Graham, rolling back to you. What you got? Third round, second pick.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and move up here. And do a steal that I was going to draft later, but I think the time is now. I'm going to go with everything we've been talking about. I think we've been basing on quality, but we're not talking necessarily quantity. And for that, I'm going to go with the Crystals or White Castle, whichever one you want to go, because how else did I keep weight on in college?
Love it.
It was in the quantity, the sack full. So give me that in the third round.
Solid. All I'm saying is nobody's ever made a movie about wanting to go to Culver's. There have been multiple movies about going to the White Castle or Crystals. So.
Just satisfies, man. Just, you know, two at a time.
Honestly, that's a wonderful pick. Little bit of a steal, I think, right there in the third round. I mean, I think that's a better pick to me than your first round pick of the damn chicken sandwich. That's a solid pick, at least.
You should have held that one out for the fourth round.
Come on, there's no stronger brand, especially in the South. So you got to take it while it's on the table.
Except for on Sundays. So, all right. So it rolls into me. I got to tell you, this is a little bit of a steal. I get it. But sometimes you just want consistency. Sometimes you want to know that the hamburger that I'm getting in Dallas, Texas is the same as the hamburger I'm getting in New York City or Paris, France. It's a little low. It's a little bit of a steal. I'm going to end the third round by just taking a good old-fashioned McDonald's, baby, because I know what it is. I know it always is going to taste delicious across the board. I'm taking McDonald's. I don't even care about it. To me, that's the easy pick at this point, because I know what it's going to be, and it's going to be good.
It's going to be garbage like you're in and out. So, look, at least you're staying consistent, too. I've got two great smash burgers. You've got two great crap burgers. So, hey, we're staying consistent here.
I'm taking consistency, baby. I want to be able to get what I can get wherever. So,
at least you didn't go with one of my least favorite yet, but I know one of you two is going to pull it out, and it's horrible, but everyone loves it.
I'm probably going to pull it out here, I'm guessing, because I don't know. I'm going to pull out the most random of them all. And even though we're talking to a national and international audience, I got to go close to home right here. All right. There's something special if you're from Birmingham, Alabama, and only if you're from Birmingham, Alabama, because the imports don't get it. God help me, I'm taking the Milo's burger. And I know those of y'all that don't know, but the Milo's burger is this amazing thing in Birmingham, Alabama, that is this tangy barbecue sauce on little smash burgers with the cheese and the grilled onions and the toasted bun all melted together in one ooey gooey deliciousness. I can't help myself. It's a local brand only, but I'm taking it. Give me a Milo's burger for my final pick.
That's a solid, solid pick. And the fact that 90% of the audience will never taste a Milo's burger.
How delicious it is. It's amazing. I can't help myself.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's more than just tea. The fries are there. So, side note, there was actually someone in Gardendale, Alabama, that the police suspected and eventually convicted them on a murder. Because their alibi was that they went to Milo's and then they waited for their fries to get cold before they got home and ate them. And the police said no one in their right mind would let Milo's fries get cold before they ate them. And that's how they investigated this. Check it out. It's on 2020. This actually happened. That's how good Milo's fries and their burger is.
Not to mention their sweet tea ain't too bad either.
Oh, my goodness.
The fries, man. That's where we're at. There we go, Bubba. You're back. All right. So is it my pick?
It's your pick. In this out of the fourth round, what you got?
Well, to close this out, I think the fan vote would be to go with something mainstream, like the double whopper, with that fake charbroiled taste that they inject into it. I don't even know where they get it, but it's not.
I don't like that.
It's not real. But there's no room for that on my team. We're already pure with number one with the Chick-fil-A sandwich, leading it in a cheeseburger draft. We've already talked about quantity, so we got some quantity game there.
Wait, how can you say a chicken sandwich is pure in a cheeseburger draft?
I'm just letting you say, hey, everybody.
That's purely idiotic is what that is.
People about to drop that in the comments.
He likes ham and pineapple on his pizza, too.
You know, oh, my God. Hey, it's, but where I'm going to go, similar to Bubba, but it is more in the South. It's a little more widespread. There's just something about it. Everything is a little bit pure. It's not the greatest, but it's pure and it's good. And it is a Jack's double cheeseburger with bacon.
Too solid.
You'll go back to Jack's for more. And that's gonna close the team out.
I can't hate on Jack.
It's a small. But wait, you know the rule of Jack's though. There's a rule. The rule is the smaller the town, the better the Jack's.
100%.
Like if you go to a Jack's in a big city. It's awful, but if you're driving out in the sticks of Alabama, Georgia, place like if you're in the middle of nowhere and you pull into a town that has no other restaurant, like not even a Subway, and all they have is a Jack's, you're about to have the best hamburger of your life right there.
All about the South.
The smaller
baby.
The town, the better the Jack's. 100%.
All about
you know
the
what?
South.
That's a solid, solid fourth round pick right there.
Feeling good about my team.
I am a little bit shocked that we had. Crystals, which I like, that we had McDonald's come out, that we had several of these, and no one said Whataburger, but I'm proud of you boys. Because
I hate it. Terrible, I hate a Whataburger. I'm sorry.
And I thought for sure one of you boys would pick it. So with my fourth and final pick, you know, I've got five guys, which we all know is hands down the best cheeseburger of any quick service fast food out there. I've got
hands down burgers, because you can't touch anything because your hands are so damn greasy,
which means it did its job. Culver's and Freddy's, which are just incredible, great different ones. I'm going opposite end of the spectrum. I'm going with one of the chains that does a gourmet burger. If you're looking to dress it up and have something a little different, give me BurgerFi for my fourth and final pick.
Okay. I've had a BurgerFi. It's pretty decent. You know, I didn't think about it. It's on the list. You can customize. That's the great thing about the BurgerFi.
Yeah. I'm glad JT is out there on we'll call it the West Coast, Denver area, right? It is the West Coast because you're diversifying our burger offerings that are not here on the Southeast where it's Hardee's and not Carl's Jr., which did also not make the list. But hey, I'll tell you this one thing here. There was a time when Hardee's and Carl's Jr. were going under And launched and relaunched their burgers, a little too bit extreme. It bordered on the pornography side of eating cheeseburgers. But they had a run there where that was a really good burger, and it's kind of lost its way. But that would have been out there 10 years ago.
It goes back to the consistency. Like, again, that's why, like, I had to go to McDonald's Wendy's, because the consistency of the burger, I know what I'm getting. That Hardee's burger, it can be great, it can be awful. There's no telling what you're going to get depending on where you're at with it.
Yeah.
That's a good call.
Any honorable mentions out there? I was going to go, you kind of laid in with some smash burgers, but Shake Shack, right? Like that's, or Steak and Shake, one of those. They kind of get some.
My kiddos love Shake Shack, and I don't know. It's kind of, I like it better than In-N-Out. You know, Bubba, it's so funny.
You're so crazy. I love
In-N-Out. Three In-N-Outs around me, I've been once. I'm like, that's why nuts. I don't go.
Shake Shack is an overrated burger. I do not like the Shake Shack burger. I thought about it. I'll tell you another one, and I can't figure it out, because we used to have one. I used to love going as a kid. It still exists in some places, but I remember you going up to get the burger, but it may kind of borderline not be fast food, but a Fuddruckers. Y'all ever been to a Fuddruckers?
Yeah. Like, it is Fuddruckers, table service, yeah.
It's kind of right there on the borderline of it, but I just love that you could go up to the little burger fixing bars and kind of fix it your own way and put the nacho cheese on it and the shredded, I did like a Fuddruckers. I don't know, Graham, to me, I got to tell you, like, to me, the Crystals, I completely had forgotten. The What Crystals White Castle, I think, was a great pick.
I feel like they've all closed down. Like, I'm trying to think
too. That's the
last
problem.
Time I've had one, and where there even is one.
Yeah,
I can't find one either. It kills me because they're so good.
In reality, what has happened is you're in the season of life where you have responsibilities and you're not out until 3 a.m. and your guiding star is is your alcoholic memory, kind of like Beer Fest, where you just kind of walk down the back alley. That's how you find the Crystal, right? It's the guiding star of being intoxicated that leads you there. So
Crystals aren't even open in the daytime, right? It's this magical thing that doesn't open till 9 o'clock at night.
I'll mention another one that was borderline, but I think at the end, I have to say it's a server, even though they're behind the counter. Waffle House's patty melt.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. No, I thought about that, but I thought it was too close, because there is a way. But, like, no, that the Waffle House patty melt is a solid burger, and I agree with you on that. I did think about that, too.
Hey, blast from the past here. Johnny Rockets.
Definitely a table side, but it's a good side. Burger. It's definitely a table side.
I agree. We'll put it in the Fuddruckers cabinet, but it was close.
Yeah.
It was close.
It's a good burger.
Yeah.
All right, we all agree. Five guys wins. I had the best draft.
We're going to take it to the comments. We're going to take it to whoever wants to comment here. By the way, if the comments aren't open on this individual platform that you're listening, feel free to shoot us an email at chubbytackletalk@gmail.com. ChubbyTackleTalk@gmail.com. Let us know what you think about the show, about the comments. Let's run it down real quick. Jansen, give me your draft real quick. Give me your four all of a sudden.
All right. We're just kicking off with Five Guys Burgers and Fries, Culver's, Freddy's, and ending with Burger Pie.
All right. Graham, your turn with your stupid picks.
Oh, right out of the gates, the Chick-fil-A Spicy Deluxe, right? Maybe throw some bacon on there. Then going into the drive-thru with Sonic Double Cheeseburger with bacon. Then late night, keeping it real with Crystal/White Castles. Either or. I know they're different, but put them in the same category. They're all regional. And then you're going to go back for more to Jack's.
And I'm rolling in with the best burger that there is out there, the In-N-Out, baby, followed by a couple of consistent contenders, Wendy's with the Baconator, McDonald's just for the quarter pounder, the Big Mac, the consistency, and then ended it up with the special burger from the South, the Malo's Cheeseburger. Let us know who won. Let us know who had the best draft, and we'll let you know next week as we continue the boys' draft. Dun, 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 dun. All right, guys. Well, listen, it's been a great time. It's been a great episode. Let's end it with final thoughts. Start with you, JT. What has been on your mind this weekend? What do you want to talk about?
All right. So, you know, as we end in April, there's another sport that I really enjoy out there. We still can call it football, even though you know it better as soccer. And I've got to put something on your radar. Where else do all 20 teams in one league play at the same exact time with everything on the line? I'm talking about Championship Sunday coming up on May 19th. Premier League, It should be a rundown for a lot of teams. Again, we can change football into a number of ways. It's a fun sport to watch, a fun day to watch. There's nothing else like it. Put it on your radar.
And thank God my West Ham United is sitting there at ninth in, or eighth in the table, and I don't have to worry about relegation this year, because Championship Sunday has been nerve-wracking many a times before, let me tell you. All right, G, what are your final thoughts about?
Well, now that we've established that this is not the CTE podcast, but drop it in the comments if you think that this hurt your head to listen to this, and maybe we'll make some adjustments. No promises. You know, the whole Dave Campbell comment, but obviously the whole burger draft got in the way of that. So thank you for the correction on that one. You know, I'd just like to bring it home. I'm really curious, knowing that this is the audio only version of the podcast, how much greater it is going to do than the video, knowing that we bring a lot of bandwidth down when people watch it, and we were made for radio. So that's my closing comments.
All right. Now, let me tell you about the greatest thing, flashing back to the draft, the greatest thing that I saw in the draft. And I've already let you guys know about this a little bit, but it's still the greatest thing I've ever seen. I can't get over it. Tony Khan. Tony Khan is the son of Shad Khan. Shad Khan owns the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Tottenham Hotspurs, and Tony Khan is the head of player analysis. He's the guy that gets in the computers and everything for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But also, Tony Khan owns the number two, or number one, depending on how you look at it, professional wrestling company in the world, All Elite Wrestling, AEW. And on Wednesday night, live on TNT, Tony Khan took a spiked pile driver on live TV from the Young Bucks, and then turned around on Thursday night in the Jacksonville Jaguars war room as they were drafting their players, as they were making trades, and wore a neck brace to sell the pile driver. He could have easily just blown it off. He could have appeared like nothing. But Tony Khan went old school pro wrestling. He went old school Andy Kaufman and sold the injury. He sold it really poorly. Nobody actually believed he was hurt. But he did interviews on the NFL Network wearing a neck brace and telling people his neck was hurt from the Young Bucks. This is a billionaire and a son of a billionaire who's a high-level executive with the Jaguars. Granted, nepotism, but still, the man wore a neck brace to promote his wrestling company during the NFL draft. And I think that's incredible. I cannot get over it. Pro wrestling lives. Kayfabe is dead, baby. Give me some more of that, because it's the greatest thing I've seen all week.